Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, please. Please stand out of love and respect for God's word if you're physically able. And I'll read tonight for you. Just follow along. And beginning in verse 6, it says, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." The particular trait that I'm talking about tonight is that of being godly. Being godly. This is not like what Satan said, "And ye shall be as gods." We're not trying to be like God. We're not trying to be like Satan said, "I will be like the Most High," right? And that's not what being godly is. But most importantly, godly is seeking to display in and through our life all the character traits of God and Jesus Christ. So we're trying to display in and through our lives God. That's what being godly means. Another definition is living in obedience to God's commands, not from a necessity standpoint or because we have to, but rather from a principle of love for Him and reverence of His character and precepts. In other words, because we fear God. You understand that being godly is just trying to live life, if you will, as God would live life. Okay? Obeying those commandments, displaying the character traits of God, that is being godly. Okay, everybody understands the L-Y ending. We don't need to go through an English lesson today, do we? Okay, thank you. I don't want to. in Bible college, I'm teaching this semester, teaching children reading. Oh, joy. But it's okay. I get to make fun of English every Monday morning for 2 hours, and it's a blessing. It means that we are going to display the characteristics of God in our life. And that's a character trait. For us to be able to do that is something that is worth working on. How many of you, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, are adept at being godly? We all struggle at this, don't we, at different points of time? Maybe for times during the day, or perhaps days during the week, or perhaps weeks during the year, or perhaps months during the year. Weeks during the month, months during the year. Okay? Right? We struggle with this sometimes. Being godly. Displaying in and through our life the character traits of God. How are we going to accomplish being godly? How are we going to develop this trait of being godly in our lives? Well, you know what? Those of us that have Jesus Christ as our Savior, first of all, are able to do this. We are able to do this. Why? Because we've been born again. We are now children of God. We have the Spirit of God in us. We can be godly. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We can be godly. Isn't that a great thing? We can. Okay? We can be godly. So how is it that we're going to accomplish this task? Look at verse 6. He says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. So how is it that we're going to be godly? We're going to remember. We're going to do it through remembrance. Now, if you're like me, I do have at times difficulty remembering. But you know what? There are some things that I can remember really well. It's amazing. And a lot of times it's just useless information. I don't know why that is. Maybe I'd be a good contestant on Jeopardy or something like that. Some trivia show. I'm not sure. But doggone, if I can't remember some things, I just have a hard time. But you know what? We all have a hard time with that, don't we? At times. Especially when it comes to things that God tells us to do. Or maybe things that we should do and I really don't want to. Okay, listen. It's a difficulty remembering. Hey, the children of Israel had a hard time remembering. They even put up ancient landmarks. Why'd they do that? To remember. Why did they go over the law over and over and over and over and over again? Because they kept forgetting, right? They'd serve God for a while, and then they'd forget about God, and then they'd come get punished, and they come back to God, and it's just this cycle that they would go through and over and over and over again. Remembrance, remembrance, remembrance. Why do you suppose we have a book? The book of God. Why do we have this? Because we forget things. Yeah, oh yes, we need to be brought into remembrance of these things. Paul was telling Timothy, he said, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee. That's later on. Let me get back in my notes here. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. What does a good minister do? He reminds people that they're supposed to be godly. They're supposed to follow and display the characteristics of God in their life. 1 Timothy 3, Paul said, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, listen to this, great is the mystery of godliness. It's a great mystery. He says, hey, how you are going to behave yourself is a mystery. You ought to behave yourself the right way. What's the right way? Like God would. It's God's house, right? By the way, we're bought with a price, so it's God's life. We should live it God's way. That's being godly. He says, hey, I'm going to write to you. I'm going to tell you this stuff. But he said, this is a mystery. He says, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the word, a world received up into glory. Psalm 30, verse 4 says, sing unto the Lord, all ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Didn't God tell us to be holy because he is holy? Aren't we a holy nation? Aren't we a peculiar people? Aren't we set apart for his purpose? We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to act different. We need to remember and put into remembrance who, what, when, where, why, and how we're supposed to be. Yeah? To remember to be godly. See, why do we struggle with this? Well, Paul told us why. Would that I could not, did that I did not, would that I did not, could not, do not, would not, should not, cannot. Yeah. Romans chapters 5, 6, and 7.
Hey, listen, I'm just telling you. We have a hard time. Why? Because the flesh warreth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. We have this battle inside of us. The old nature, the new nature. Carnality, spirituality. The flesh and the spirit battling back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And we have to be reminded to be godly. In John chapter 14, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Hey, I want to ask you a question. How well are you hearing the Comforter? God said that he would bring all things to remembrance. He's going to do his job. He's going to remind you. He's going to speak to you. How well are you hearing him? Huh? Maybe the hair has grown in your ears. Or the earwax. You need to dig it out of there, right? Carefully. Don't. Medically speaking, that's not always a good idea. Okay? We need to get it out. We need to unplug our life with the things that keep us from hearing the things being brought to remembrance in our lives. Remembering to be godly, all things what he has said unto us. 1 Corinthians 4, Paul said, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. We recently looked at 2 Peter chapter 1. Remember, add to your faith and all those things? We just talked about that. Remember in verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. That word remembrance is used a lot in those passages of Scripture, isn't it? Why was Peter so concerned about all of this? Because those people were important to him. They were God's people. Remember what Jesus said to him? Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Feed my lambs. Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Feed my sheep. But Peter, lovest thou me? Three times. Hey, I think Peter loved these people. He's going to do the work that Jesus commended him to do. And he was going to do it well, and he's going to stir them up and put them in remembrance so that after he was dead, they would still remember. You know what? We need to remember. Remember to be godly. You know, listen, I love what he says. He says, I'll put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them. Too much is given, much is required, folks. Oh, we listen. let me sit down for a minute. I'm going to preach to myself for a second. This is for all of us. Hey, listen, we know a lot of what God wants us to do in our lives. We really do. How he wants us to live. The ways he wants us to follow. The things he wants us to say. The things he wants us to do. The things he doesn't want us to say. The things he doesn't want us to do. Well, listen, we really know quite a lot. Sometimes I think we neglect to do them. We forget. Hey, you know as well as I do that I'm a father of 11 children. You want to know how many times I hear, "I forgot"? Okay, those of you that have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 children, okay, just multiply however many times you heard, "I forgot." Okay, by whatever factor you want, and that's fine. That's covered. That's where I am. All right. Yeah. But honestly, child of God, we often say the same to our Heavenly Father. I forgot. If we're going to live godly, we've got to be brought into remembrance. In 2 Peter, Peter said, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior." In Proverbs, Solomon was trying to help Rehoboam grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He said, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee." In James, we're commanded to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Not forgetting ourselves as we behold ourselves, our natural face in a glass. "For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." So how are we going to live godly? We're going to do it through remembrance. We're going to remember what God has told us to do. We're going to remember how God has told us to live. We're going to remember to listen to the Holy Spirit of God, who's going to bring all things into remembrance for us, because that's the gift of God for the believer in Christ. Now take your Bibles and go back to our text in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I want you to look at verses 7 and 8. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 7 and 8. We are doing well. Okay, we had a lengthy introduction and get to the first point. We're moving along. We're doing just fine. Are you there? "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come." So how are we going to be godly put this into work into our lives as a characteristic? We're going to exercise it. We're going to work it out. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Yeah. Hey, how do you get more godly? Exercise. Practice being godly, and you'll be more godly, won't you? Yeah, absolutely. 1 Timothy chapter 2, he says, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good
and acceptable in the sight of God and our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So how are we going to become more godly in our lives? We're going to do it by being godly, by exercising godliness. We need to work it out. We need to daily practice being godly, following the commandments of God, doing the things that God wants us to do, living the life that God wants us to live, following the perfect will of God, as is what is our duty as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Hey, we've been given it. Now we need to use it. Hey, listen, everybody kind of feel around a little bit. Okay, did you know you've been given muscles? And if you use them, right, they're going to work right. And if you don't use them, what are they going to do? They're actually going to atrophy. They're going to get worse. Okay? Yeah, that's what happened to mine. If you just use them on a regular basis, they'll maintain. But if you exercise them, they will actually grow. They'll grow. But if you don't use them, they will actually shrink. They'll actually become less usable. Hey, have we been given all things that pertain unto life and godliness? Yeah. That's why we're supposed to add to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience. And to, you know what that is? That's working out. That's exercising godliness. We're supposed to add to these things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, the Bible tells us, nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice that ye were made sorry, or not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner. You understand that when the Corinthians were rebuked, they responded. They responded properly. Back in the Old Testament, when they found the book of the law, after years and years and years of not having it, and they began to read, and the priests began to read, and the people began to wail and to cry, and they said, stop, no, okay, you didn't have the law, you didn't, now you can, stop being sorry, stop fussing and whining, and go do what God said to do. Listen, it's good that you're sorry for sinning against God. It's good that you're sorry for not being godly like we should be. Okay, dry up the tears, get over it, and go be godly. Exercise it. Get out there and do what God wants you to do. Turn your life around and live for Him. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul told Timothy, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know what persecution brings? More godliness. It brings patience in your life. It brings things that you can add to become strengthened. Listen, I told you before, When you go out there and lift those weights, you're tearing those muscles. And guess what that does? It hurts. But it's for a benefit. It's so that they'll grow. Sometimes living godly will hurt. You're going to go through persecutions. You're going to go through afflictions. You're going to go through struggles. You're going to go through times perhaps where you feel like there's no help to be found. But can I tell you something? God is faithful. He's faithful. He's going to help it to grow in your life. You know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. You understand that as we exercise godliness in our lives, we're going to grow in that godliness. It's going to become stronger and stronger and stronger in our lives to the glory of God. Because the more the world sees of God in us, the more they're going to see of God in us. You said you just said the same thing twice. I did. Isn't that what's important? I don't want them to see me. I want them to see God in me. I don't want people to say, oh, what a great preacher, what a great pastor. No, I don't want that. I want them to say, oh, what a great God. Because our God is great. And if I can live godly, listen, I want it to be in our church that we were called Christians first in Wiley. Yeah, I do. Now, oh, look at that church. I want to say, look at that God of that church. Because it's living a godly life that glorifies God. Because that's the way He would live it if He were living this life. And we need to exercise it. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We should live godly. All right, back to our text, and we're almost done. You're doing really well. Good job tonight. I'm in an encouraging mood today. I don't know why, but I am. Go back to our text, 1 Timothy chapter 4. I want you to look at verse 15. Verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the prophecy, but with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. That's all having to do with that exercising. Now listen to this. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So this thing of godliness, how are we going to develop it in our lives as a characteristic? We're going to be brought into remembrance. We're going to exercise it. And then we're going to take heed. Take heed. What happens when we do well in something? We think we've done something. We do. He said, there you go again, saying the same thing twice. Yes, but it's true. We get a little puffed up, a little proud, thinking we've accomplished some task. Yeah. Take heed. How do we continue being godly? Take heed. Be careful. Beware. We need to make sure that we do not fall over our own pride. Continue to be godly. Not for your sake, but for God's. In 1 Timothy 6, just a few chapters over, he says, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, But doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men and of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. You understand that we need to take heed. Take heed. Beware of these things, because sometimes we can fall because of sin and because of pride. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. You understand that we can get into mechanical mode and just have a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. You know what we need to do? Take heed. Take heed. Beware. Watch out. We know that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. You know what we need to do? Take heed. Take heed. We need to be looking out. The day of the Lord is coming as a thief in the night. In 1 Corinthians 3, Paul again tells the Corinthians, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. We need to be careful how we build our lives. The foundation in Christ has been laid, and we need to take heed and continue to live a godly life. We know that every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. You know what? If we're going to live a godly life, we're going to continue to live a godly life, we need to take heed. Be careful of how we build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. What's going to help us stay true to being godly? Well, it's the Word of God. In 2 Peter 1, it says, we also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You know what Joshua was told? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. How are we going to be prosperous? How are we going to have good success in being godly? Don't turn from it to the right hand or to the left. Follow it. In 2 Timothy, Paul says, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed,
rightly dividing the word of truth. So as we look back and just think about what Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, he said, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So how are we going to be godly? How are we going to display in and through our lives the character traits of Jesus Christ and of God? How are we going to live in obedience to God's commands from a principle of love to Him and reverence of His character and precepts? We're going to do it by remembrance, exercise, and taking heed to be godly in this present world.